Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm interested to know if there's any folks out there. There's a couple of family I'm going to talk about here in a moment that listens to my show in the morning with batteries in their radio, batteries. And they do that because they have no electricity. And I'm going to expound upon that in a second as we're trying to put perspective on what happened last night. And it's really a pain in the you-know-what for people not to have power. What is it, 60,000 homes? And that's shocking to me. It just is. With such a little bit of snow, of course, I don't know the dynamic. I don't know squat about how this sort of thing happens, and it's a calamity for so many people. But we didn't have power from, I don't know, about 10:30 last night to about 6:30 this morning. And, you know, that's 8 hours. And you feel like, who cares about the other 60,000 people? Just turn the lights on at my house. And you're thinking, I have kids. And, you know all the things that cross your mind. And the house gets cold pretty fast. I noticed this morning, I usually have the thermostats downstairs. It's an older house, so you know how this is, folks. You can't keep the upper floors cooler in the summer. You can't keep them warm in the winter. So to keep the upper floors where everybody sleeps warm enough, I have to keep the thermostat downstairs at about 74, 75. And this morning, I noticed before the heat came back on, it was 62, which isn't that cold, but it's cold, right? Yeah, it's cold. I was just glad, honestly, for me, I have these long johns I've been wearing. I'm like, okay, just give me another blanket. I was fine with it. But I worry about the kids. But the truth is, kids are so resilient. They slept through the whole darn thing. And it was kind of cool. I'm sitting in the bathroom, literally, doing my thing. And the lights came on. Don't you love that feeling when you hear the furnace kick on? But Larry hasn't had any since 7:30 last night. And I heard the power company folks saying it could be through the weekend for some people. That's a difficult situation. So you think of how annoyed you get when your power's out for a couple hours. You think of how cold your house gets. Well, like I said, my house was into the low 60s. And so how long was the power out? About 8 hours. So right now, with my friends from the Dollar Energy Fund and my close friend, Chad Quinn, we're trying to help this family right now. And it's kind of got me thinking about them this morning. And I hope they're listening because they're wonderful people. So mom and dad both work. They have a teenage daughter, and the daughter reached out to me, and mom and dad were ashamed to. Dad's a house painter, and they do all right until it gets like this, and then he can't paint houses. And, you know, the ends never meet, and so you skip one bill or you pay another bill, and then before you know it, they shut your power off. And by the way, these companies will not shut off power in weather like this. But they will if you owe $6,000 to $8,000, which is what this family ends up doing, and it accumulates over the years. And then they put you on a program, which is a certain payment every month. I'm just trying to give folks perspective here who are you're just completely annoyed because you haven't had power for 8 hours. And I get it completely. This family, and they're the nicest people. And I'm headed there, actually, with Patrick, my producer and a business partner, as we fix this situation, get in the middle of it and get these folks with power. Can you imagine? No power for over a year. Over a year. Now think about their lives. Think about it. So you had one night. I was thinking about them last night. I woke up a number of times to use the bathroom and, you know, just kind of shuffling around because that's what I do because I'm old and cold. And I was thinking, man, this is so annoying to me. I'm putting those heavy socks on, another blanket. This is so annoying to me, and I'm only into like 6 hours of this craziness. These folks have had a year of this. So what do they do? So any time they want to shower, they have these like, they have two drums of oil, heating oil, and they heat up water with oil. That's how they shower, seriously, for a year. You think, man, this is in America? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And mom's crying on the phone. She's ashamed to ask for any kind of assistance or help. And dad just wants to get the darn electricity turned back on again and has a plan to pay for it. And the teenage daughter is just this magnificent girl. Just, hey, Marty, you got to help us. I know you're sick and all, but you got to help us. Really, and that's how it was presented to me. And they care about me being sick. But and so here I am thinking, man, so to take a shower, to have any kind of warm water, you have to wait for the oil to heat up the water. There is no cold, nothing. So there's no fridge for over a year. They have a cooler. That's it. And I'm complaining about 8 hours without heat. There are thousands, what do they say, 6,000 to 8,000 families every year go without electricity or heat. Families. American families. And you know, I can't wave a magic wand. I can't step in. You can't write checks. I mean, some people just can't manage anything. Some people just can't get their arms wrapped around it. But most people, men's don't meet, man. We just don't. You know, we could talk about a flourishing economy. You could talk about Amazon and giving them $10 billion in incentives, and the money's almost too big and unfathomable to imagine. Unfathomable to imagine that kind of money. When there's this family in North Huntington that has a $6,000 to $8,000 electric bill and they haven't had heat or electricity in over a year. And that's the life that they live. And it's our town, and these are our people, and it's an American family. And it just ain't right. And I'm going to fix it. And it gives me perspective on the reality of my life and how blessed I have been in that I learned a little bit about myself last night. About 2 in the morning, I'm on my cell phone trying to look up what's going on in our neighborhood and why we don't have power. I'm looking on the Duquesne Light site. Then I call the Mount Lebanon Fire Department. They're wonderful guys. And just said, what's the deal? What have you guys heard? And he said, we had a transformer blew up, and then we had power back on at 6:15 this morning. But this family that today with I'm trying to help, they don't have power over a year. This is the life they're living. And last night when it got colder and colder and colder, they didn't have any hope that Duquesne Light was going to flick a switch and it would come back on. Do you think they want this life? Do you think any of us do? For anybody, do you want anybody to live that life? It just makes you realize there's need out there, and we've got to feel that need. We've got to care about each other. If we don't care about each other, we're done. Just remember, there are families out there who don't have 8 hours of power without power. They have 8 months or a year, and that's the truth, folks. And it's hard to hear, but it's the reality of the world we live in. There are folks that need, and we've got to help them. Hey, folks, trust me on this one. This family I'm talking about, a local family that hasn't had power in a year, I'm in the middle of this. I'll have some real firm answers by the end of today. And we will have this solution for them pretty quickly. Rest assured. Trust me. And by the way, it's the greatness of you all, Texas, Southern, you all, in that as soon as I started talking about this, the phone lines blew up with folks who want to help. Folks with generators and folks who want to write checks. And I love you all. But let's, I don't like to kind of knee jerk and raise a couple $100 and no disrespect to anybody wanting to give 50 cents. I love all of you. But what happens is, and I know you folks might know this in a circumstance like this, what happens is these power companies actually want you to have power. They don't want you sitting there in the cold. So they put you on this plan when you accumulate a big bill. And then, but the plan is it's very affordable. It's like $100 a month, sometimes even less, depending on your income. But, and they won't shut you off. But if you get off that plan, if you miss a couple of months, you're off. And then they send you the $8,000 bill. So, no, it doesn't make someone who gets off that plan a bad person. I don't judge people. I'm too old, man. I've seen too much. I've done too many stupid things. But what I do determine is how do we get them back on the plan? And then we just go from there. I could care less if they owe $40,000. As long as, you know, you get a feel for them and they're good people and they really do care. And, man, all they want is heat in their house. You know what I mean? And this poor mom, she's crying. You know, I'm talking to her and she's ashamed. And dad just wants to work a little more. Mom's coming home from work to a house with no heat. And they have a teenage daughter who's just trying to grow up who loves her parents. How about that? What's my point? My point is I love you folks for calling in and saying you want to help. But let me kind of wrap my arms around it. Just came up. Just got in the middle of it. And let me see what we can do, big picture. Because the reason why I'm also doing this is that there are a lot of families that fall into the same scenario. You know what it's like? And for those out there who don't understand and just say, just pay your bills. Hey, to hell with you. Go away. Really. I don't want you here. What happens is you get 10 bills and you pay 8 of them. Seriously. Or you pay 6. Rob Peter to pay Paul. We've all done this. Some just on a different scale. And sometimes you make a mistake and you don't pay enough utility. And these utility companies are not scoundrels. They're just not. And what I've learned over the years is what they want is they want your heat on. They want your lights on. But it has to be reasonable. There has to be some kind of plan. They can't give everybody free power. So trust me, I'm in the middle of this and working on it today. And we're going to have the family on, and you're going to get to meet them. And because a lot of people, I want to kind of set up a plan so everybody out there in the same kind of situation knows how to manage this. Okay? But I love you guys for calling in and caring about trying to help this family today. It's what makes Pittsburgh great. It's what makes us... a big family. Hey, you probably weren't listening yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour when I had Alan Pear on. He's a friend. He's a really good lawyer, and he handles a lot of these abuse cases. And I'm going to get into this after this break here, but it's almost like the power situation where my power goes out, so all of a sudden, all I care about is my power. This happened to me last night, so you tell the wife, oh my gosh, honey, look, 60,000 people without power. Which is kind of sort of irrelevant to you because you're warm, right? You've got your cable TV and you're watching that Thursday night football game. But then when it all goes out, suddenly you care. My situation yesterday with Alan Perry, he's on the phone and he's talking about this new lawsuit. And he's talking about new victims and he's talking about naming new priests, right? And all of a sudden, he names Father Unger. I said, what do you mean, Father Unger? Anybody out there, Sacred Heart Days, anybody out there, do you remember Father Unger, Sacred Heart folks? He was our priest. So for the first time in all these years, and I've said this, I've interviewed face-to-face more than 40 victims, men who were raped by priests, face-to-face. But yesterday... Well, Alan Pear, well, he doesn't know. He's just a lawyer who's taking care of his clients. He wants to expose this stuff. All of a sudden, he names Father Unger. And so, you know, the light goes on in my head. That can't be. Got to be a different Father Unger. I could see him in my mind's eye right now. He was very stern. He was cold-hearted. All he talked about was money. He didn't seem like a loving guy. Didn't seem like a man of God to me, but I was 10 years old. He certainly didn't seem like a pedophile. Turns out he is. I want to hear from Sacred Heart folks, Sacred Heart Shadyside, who remember Unger. And I want to talk about this, how it rips your soul apart when that priest that your family trusted raped boys in a tunnel that went from the grade school to the church that I walked through 100 times. It rips your heart apart. Next, right here. As I get into this, give us a call if you want to win some tickets to see Josh Groban and Idina Menzel Friday, November 16th, 922-1020. Caller number 2, 922-1020. Tomorrow we'll take care of you. Good luck. Second caller, so do it now. So, as I mentioned, so Alan Pear, he calls me earlier in the week and says, I'm going to file a bunch of lawsuits. There are four priests who haven't been named yet. There are a bunch of new victims, Marty. We're going to try to get them some sort of compensation. We don't know where, but I think it's compelling, and I think it's kind of sad, and I'd like to break this story on your show. And I said, well, we've been talking about this for a decade. Let's go. More pain for folks, but let's get it. And let's get this out of the way. And I wish the Catholic Church would acknowledge all of these victims. I wish they would immediately put a fund together. I wish they would fire all these bishops. Try and address all these victims. And then so that the Catholics who are still there can move on. But as the way it works now, it doesn't. It's just lies and deceit. And I've been listening to this for years and years and years. And then yesterday, as Pear's talking, he mentions Father Unger, and the light went out for me. He was our parish priest at Sacred Heart. Then he mentions 69. I was 10 years old. Then he mentions the name of the victim. He was one of my classmates at Sacred Heart Elementary. And all of a sudden, you're so angry. All of a sudden, I was so shocked, and it happened on live radio. And I start texting my brothers and sisters. I'm just glad my parents aren't alive. Disgusting. Father Unger, Kirk Rice is the victim. He wanted his name out there. He was a fourth grader at Sacred Heart Elementary, just like I was. Father Unger called him out of class under the guise of needing to clean the erasers. Father Unger led Mr. Rice through a tunnel that connected the school to the church basement and rectory.
Jesus.
I was an altar boy. I've walked through that tunnel 100 times.
Jesus Christ.
He led Mr. Rice through a tunnel that connected the school to the church basement and rectory, took him into the choir locker room, I know exactly where they were, and sodomized him.
I went to school with that kid.
By the way, we have a winner, right, T? We have a winner. Thanks, folks.
It was a classmate, man. We were both 10 years old.
You know who was the... So Unger was the, he was one priest at the church. And then the other priest at the church was Father David Zubik. How about that? I remember. 866-391-1020. Are there Sacred Heart folks out there who knew Unger? My mother and dad would be so angry right now. Chris Friday. Wow. My classmates are now jumping in on Facebook. When you hear a name that's familiar, when you hear a priest that did this sort of thing, it just rocks you. It's a different kind of pain. And that's what I'm feeling today for all those victims out there. Father Unger led Mr. Rice through a tunnel that connected the school to the church basement and rectory, took him into the choir locker room and sodomized him. He alleges that he was assaulted twice more in the sixth grade, and that several other attempts were unsuccessful. Father Unger threatened both Mr. Rice and his friends, who were also victims. Unger told Mr. Rice that Jesus would harm his family if he told anyone. So this is the world this young man had to grow up in. This is the pain he has to live every day. A woman called the other day and said it doesn't really bother her because this stuff happened 40 years ago. Really, ma'am? Chris Friday, Father Unger, he was a parish priest at Sacred Heart, then came back as a pastor. Yes. Those tunnels always scared me. A lot of things could have happened there. I feel I was fooled my whole life by my religion. Me too. Me too. It's sad. Awful. It's quite possible, said Julie. Pittsburgh had one of the most systematic and sophisticated priest pedophile rings. One of the priests bought one of the victims. The priest bought Mr. Pierce a gold cross to wear as a secret sign to other pedophile priests that he was ripe for further victimization. Can you imagine this evil? So you buy a young man a cross and you make him wear it so that other priests know they can rape him. And the woman who called him the other day and said it's okay because it happened 40 years ago. It's not okay with me. It certainly isn't okay with Kirk Rice, who was raped. Ron, go ahead. Thanks for your patience, sir.
Yeah, I know Father Housen. I don't understand how he would let something.
It's not
like
Housen. Hold on, man. It's not Father Housen.
I know what I said. I said I know how he was there at the same time.
So what? He had nothing to do with this.
I'm saying, let me say something, Marty, that I said that if Housen would know this, he would have turned it. I got it all screwed up with
that. Yeah, you did. Father Unger is what we're talking about here. Housen was excommunicated. Actually, one of the priests that changed my life, Father Bill. Isn't it interesting how he was excommunicated? He's a great man. All right. The pain of it all is that it never ends. The pain of it all is that the Catholic Church hasn't stepped up. The pain of it all is the Catholics haven't made a change, as is pointed out in this column in the Wall Street Journal that I will read when we come back, folks. 866 Sacred Heart, folks. If you're around still, I'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. Next. Some Catholics, to them, this is old news. Yeah, that happened 40 years ago. So what? Leave me alone. I'm going to church. Some Catholics, they just don't want to hear it. They just have no interest. It means nothing to them. It happens everywhere. They point out the Boy Scouts and other organizations. Jerry Sandusky, they'll throw that out there and say this is, happens in every organization. It's true. I just can't. Now it strikes home. This is Father Unger. He's dead, by the way. He died in 2004. We were not close. I was very close. The reason why I was kind of stern with the gentleman who called is he threw Father Housen's name into it and started mumbling. Father Bill Housen had nothing to do with this ridiculousness. I have not communicated with the bishop in months. I guess they shut them down, told them not to. I mean, I don't know. Bishop Zubik, I have not. I don't know. I guess he came back from this bishop's conference. But a lot of Catholics, they would just rather not talk about this stuff. And they can't believe that someone would take church money who was abused. They really, truly think people should just move on. A woman called here and said, yeah, that happened 40 years ago. Why do people need money now? Well, because they've attempted suicide twice. They're alcoholics. They've had three marriages. They've been damaged. They've been broken. And the Catholics are responsible for fixing them. How about that? You know what, folks? I've said this to you before. I don't care if they have to sell every damn church. I'm bitter about it. And it just strikes home. I think of that tunnel where he took that boy who was my classmate and raped him. From the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops met urgently this week to address the most recent revelations of sex abuse by the clergy. If public anger about past cover-ups wasn't enough to spur church leaders into action, the pressure of more than a dozen state investigations kind of presents an ultimatum. This is the Wall Street Journal. Forcing bishops to prove they are able to police their own affairs. Yet on the eve of the conference in Baltimore, the Vatican forbade the bishops to adopt practical reforms. This is what the Catholics are doing these days, or what they're not doing. The move tears the U.S. church between the authority of Rome and the trust of its followers. And they went with Rome. Two abuse stories have battered the American church since the summer. The uninhibited rise of serial sexual predator Archbishop Theodore McCarrick and the Pennsylvania grand jury report, which unveiled sex accusations against more than 300 priests. More than 1,000 victims. It's almost 2,000 now. The bishop's lack of accountability connects the two stories. Equal among themselves under Catholic law, bishops can't discipline each other without Vatican intervention. This enables them to cover up abuse in their own jurisdictions and gives them an excuse to keep quiet about others. I've seen it. We're hearing it today. I promise you, I could grab a bunch of old ladies who love Father Unger who would say none of this is true and that these people all make this stuff up. I guarantee you they would tell me this. The head of the conference, the bishops coalesced around two proposals to impose accountability. The first, simple code of conduct, extending to bishops. The zero tolerance policy for sex abuse enacted for priests in 2002. Yeah, that's, I respect that. I trust them. The second is an independent review board to investigate claims against bishops and refer credible cases directly to the Vatican. Yeah, I trust them too. How do you trust any of these people? How do you trust a priest to say I'm responsible for my actions? And how would you trust the Vatican to investigate any of this? Each bishop would have to agree to allow himself to be investigated by the committee. Okay? If the Vatican's surprise announcement means the new covenant will have to wait, the Vatican barred the conference from voting on a new sex abuse protocol until sometime in February. So here we go again. Passing the buck, kicking the can. But make sure you throw that envelope in the collection plate. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Marty. I want your take on something here. It seems to me that all you hear about as far as the abuse is in the Roman Catholic Church. You don't hear anything about it. Maybe it hasn't come out yet, or maybe it's not going on. I hope it's not going on. But you don't hear any problems in the Byzantine Church or in the Orthodox churches or anything like that.
I haven't, sir.
So, yeah, I just wanted your take on that. If you know, if you've heard anything, if you know anything, if what your opinion is on all that.
Well, look, being a lifelong Catholic, this has rocked my world. It's changed my life.
I'll tell you what, Marty, I don't think I'll ever step foot in a Roman Catholic church again.
It's changed my wife's perspective, and she's very Christian and very Catholic, and we're moving out.
Yeah. Yeah,
and in terms
and
of
I've
other
known,
churches,
known,
I don't hear
several
it.
Several people,
yeah,
that have done the exact same thing. And down here, I live down here outside of Uniontown,
sure.
And there are so many Roman Catholic churches that have closed the last. Well, if you want to go back, maybe last 10, 12 years, even there's empty Catholic churches all over the place. Doc.
Yeah, there's a sadness to it, and so many.
Yeah, and the ones that are, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, the ones that are open, they've cut way down on masses and everything. There's just not that many people attending anymore.
The whole thing hurts. It's a struggle. I think there's still, though, 800,000 Catholics in the region, a very powerful force. And by the way, I don't judge people by their decision to keep going to church or forget about this or disregard it because they say it's old and old news. We all handle pain differently. Go ahead, Bill.
Good morning, Marty. I hope you're feeling well.
Better. I'm feeling better. Thanks, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
A very simple point. Why are we even talking about having the bishops have any role in this at all? It's a civil matter.
Right.
Corruption minors and,
right.
And sexual assault.
Right.
So they simply are irrelevant in this. Now, with me saying that, I'm a practicing Catholic. I love the church.
Right.
So don't get me wrong, but these are crimes. They should not. Why are they getting, they shouldn't even get a say in this.
I'm glad the feds are involved. I'm glad 12 states have opened grand jury investigation because Bill nailed it. They have no credibility with me. Why would I trust the bishops to be honest about these events when they haven't been for decades? Why would I trust that someone's molested or sexually assaulted? Why would I trust some committee in the Vatican? Why would I? When it appears as if, for all intents and purposes, the Pope covered up for this McCormick guy and refused to fire one single bishop since this grand jury report came down. Why would I trust any of these people? Why would any of you? I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.